Blog Talk Radio.
Now you can look the word up again and again, but the dictionary doesn't know the meaning of friend. And if you ask me, you know I couldn't be much help, because a friend's somebody you judge for yourself. Some are okay and they treat you real cool, and some are taking kindness for being the fool. We like to be with some because they're funny. Others come around when they need some money. Some you grew up with around the way, and you're still real close to this very day. Homeboys through the summer, winter, spring, and fall. And then there's some we wish we never knew at all. And this list goes on again and again. But these are the people that we call friends. When we first went out together, we barely knew each other. We had no intentions on becoming lovers. But in no time at all, you became my girl. Me and you, one-on-one, against the world. Talking on the telephone for hours at a time. And else, I was at your house, and you was at mine. And then came the arguments and all kinds of problems. Besides making love, we had nothing in common. It couldn't last longer, cause we started out strong. But I guess we went about the whole thing wrong. Cause out of nowhere, it just came to an end, because we became lovers before we were friends.
Friends, how many of us have them?
You took her out with you and your guy one night. She even had a set of keys to your home, and you shared most of everything you own. But then she shook your hand, she stole your man, and it was done so sweet, it had to be a plan. Couldn't trust her with cheese, let alone your keys. But friends like that, you don't need enemies. You wonder how long it was all going on, and you're still not sure if your glad is gone. You say, well, if she took him, he was never mine. But deep inside, you know that's just another lie. And now you're kind of cold towards people you meet, cause it's something that was done to you by some creep. But nevertheless, I'll say it again, that these are the people that we call friends.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, before we go any further, let's be friends.
Wab shalom yasha Allah, man, that is the jam. It, man, and that's when they made music, man, that's called hip-hop that actually had a message in the music that inspired you to do, you know, the right thing, man, to have a friend like the brother. You know, he opened up in the first line. He said, friends that you grew up and some you are still cool with to this very day, man. You know, how many of us have friends or friendships that we've had since we were a child, man? That is very rare this day and age. Very rare. Hell, for us in the truth, man, how many of us in the truth have friendships that we've nurtured since we came in? You know? And I'm talking brothers or sisters that left. Do you still talk to them? Do you don't talk to them? I mean, what's the situation? It's just some things to ponder on, man. But the brother said, and even in the hook, man, it says, one we can depend on. Because that's truly what a friend is, man. I know you got my back, man. I know whatever happens, I can depend on you. You're going to be there for me, man. That is invaluable. That is invaluable, especially in the age of Corona, man, because when this whole lockdown happened, you know, and I said this before on the show, it was not the time to be the lone wolf, man, to be by yourself. And we've seen that. If you haven't seen it or heard about it, man, go and do some research. But they're talking about the psychological fallout or damage behind the coronavirus and the quarantine that came behind it, how people are literally having psychological issues because they've been left alone. And essentially, and I've said this before, people were prisoners in their own households. And if just imagine, if you didn't have any friends, what would be your mental state, man? I mean, really? Hell, go back and watch the movie Castaway, one of my favorite movies, man. And in the movie, Tom Hanks, his character ends up finding a Wilson volleyball, man. And he named him Wilson, rightly so. And he would talk to this ball the whole time he was on this island, man. You know what Tom Hanks understood? That he had to talk to this ball, this imaginary friend, to keep his sanity, man. Ain't that something? Anyway, y'all, welcome to the show. Tarza Pod Tuesdays. Glad for everybody tuning in. Glad for everybody that's been supporting. But I'm going to ask y'all, man, to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend to please tune in every Tuesday to Tarza Pod Tuesday, y'all. Let's keep this blog talk thing going. And not just me, man. Have them tune in to catch Mashaba's shows and the brother Nagai. When he comes on and gives his breakdowns. But we want to keep it going. And once again, thanks for your support. I want to give shots out, man, to all the brothers here in San Antonio, On the Mark Moving. If you need something moved, man, hit the brothers up. I believe they are on the web, onthemarkmoving.com. Some, I believe, is the website. I also want to shed shots out to the brothers at H-Town. Brother Quapp is opping them down there doing their thing, man. Down with the brother Locker Bob. Just got promoted too, man. Congratulations to you, brother. But those brothers have business also. Sweet Ambience, man. They're online as well, man. Check those brothers out. And I believe they're doing some moving too, but I don't know if they're doing residential. But shout out to those brothers. Shout out to the brothers in VA, man, Kazakia, the brother REI, the brother Zion. Shout out to shout out to those brothers, man, doing their things up there. They have a business, Sweet Ambiance. They're connected with H-Town. Also, shout out to the brothers up in Rochester, man, the New Camp, man. I had the opportunity to meet those brothers, man. Good, strong brothers, man. Good, strong brothers doing their thing, man. Shout out to the young brother, man. Shaquat, man. Powerful brother, man. Powerful brother. But shout out to all those brothers, man, doing their thing, man. Most High bless their hands, bless their work. But I'm going to go ahead and get into it, man. And before I even start, I want y'all to know that I'm not abandoning the last installment of my series, Religion Is It For You. I'm definitely going to finish that class, man. But in light of recent events, man, the Most High just put it on my heart, man, put it on my mind to address this subject, man, of being a friend, you know. And I'm going to get into it, definitely. But if it's your first time tuning in, I usually do an hour of news, current events, things of that nature. That's how I started the show off. So I'm about to dive into that now. But let me get my opening scripture, Psalms 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Good or bad, happy or sad, man. Tribulation or rejoicing, man. Whatever the case may be, rejoice, man. Rejoice. The Most High made the day. Hey, you woke up this morning, man. That should be good enough. That's a good enough start, right? Today is the day, right? My rib got a T-shirt that said, right? Today is the day. You fill in the blank, man. Today is the day. Anyway, in recent news, man, I want to send out my condolences to the families, friends of DMX, family, friends of Black Rob. Black Rob just passed over the weekend, I believe. DMX passed last week. Send condolences out to those brothers, man, hip-hop icons. And it's sad, too, man. I have seen a video that wasn't too far from DMX's death, in which I think it was Sakari was teaching this brother. He was out actually listening, man. I hope the brother did more than just listen and actually came in and got taught further who he was and about repentance and, you know, his shortcomings and was making a change and doing so. I hope that that was the case, man. But if it wasn't, you know, he is back with the Father. I mean, and that is relief within itself to get that rest. Job talks about it extensively about dying, man, and how he says, what did he say? He said, there the wicked cease from, what did he say? Man, I guess I got to get it. I got to get it. I don't want to butcher it. I think it says something about the wicked cease from trouble, or let me see. It's Job 3:17. And I'm still at verse 11. He says, why die I not from the womb? So Job chapter 3, verse 11, he says, why die I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. So he's calling death rest, man, and it is rest. That's why when somebody passes, somebody expires, we say what? Rest in peace, because you can truly get your rest, man, your spirit, not so much of your body, because we know the body is decomposed and it goes back to the earth from which it came. That's why you say ash to dust to dust, but the spirit now truly is at rest. The spirit is not vexed. Verse 14. It says, which kings and counselors of the earth, which build desolate places for themselves, or with princesses that had gold, who fill their houses with silver, or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. So he's talking about stillbirth. Verse 17. There, and he's talking this part of the scripture I was quoting, he says, there the wicked cease from troubling. You hear that? This is what he's talking about, death. So when you're dead, your spirit is at rest and doesn't have to worry about the wicked troubling him anymore. He says, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary, listen to this, be at rest. So if you had a weary spirit, if those brothers had weary spirits, man, guess what? Those weary spirits are now at rest for the time being to the day of judgment, and then the Most High will make his judgment on those spirits, man. But like I said, my condolences go out to the families and friends of DMX, Black Rob, man. Death is not easy. Loss is not easy to digest. Takes you time. It tells you that in Ecclesiastes chapter 38. I also want to, because I heard that Fantasia is having complications with her pregnancy, with her labor. Want to send some prayers up for her, man, and hope her and her child survive the labor, man. Hope she has a healthy child. All right, y'all, let me dive into the news. And let me say this too, man, because a lot of people might be like, well, why is Tyler Powell, saying RIP to these wicked-ass niggas and this wicked woman and so on and so forth? Look, y'all, they still Israelites, man. They still Israelites, and they are ignorant of the knowledge. And even the Most High said, who can have compassion on the ignorant and those that are out of the way, man? Hey, Christ even said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, man. And they don't. They don't. They ain't been taught, man. That's what the word ignorant means. It means they're unlearned. They're untaught. They don't know no damn better, man. If they did, they would do better. There is a difference, though, I will say that, because the scripture also says, he that is ignorant, let him still be ignorant. That's for somebody that you bring the knowledge to and they won't accept it. Somebody you try to reason with and they just, nope, they ain't trying to get it. They ain't trying to hear it. They're going to keep smoking their weed. They're going to keep committing adultery. They're going to keep the poor dietary, abominable dietary choices alive with the swine and the shrimp, the lobster, the poke, the fat back. They ain't trying to hear it, man. So what the scriptures say, let him that is ignorant, let him still be ignorant, man. Hell, Christ even told the disciples to shake the dust of their feet off if somebody of a house wouldn't accept them. And move on, man, and give it to somebody that appreciate it. He also said, cast not thy pearls before swine. He was talking about, man, people that are not worthy. But anyway, let me get into it, y'all. This is from CNN. This is an opinion piece. I was trying to debate what I was going to open up with, but let me see. Let me see if I can go back real quick. This is the top headline. Well, anyway, for those who didn't know, the trial of George Floyd is still going on. I don't know what day this is of the deliberations for the jury. I have not watched the trial. I've seen like bits and pieces of it, man. But it's just sad to watch, sickening to watch, upsetting to watch. What further evidence do you need? I mean, come on, man. It's murder. It's cold-blooded murder. I mean, point-blank, period, man. but they're deliberating. And apparently Maxine Waters, this sister, man, I think I brought that out like last class in Genesis, the 49th chapter, when it says, Judah, thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemy. She's definitely become a pain in the neck for Esau, man. This sister, and I believe she's a representative of California, but, man, I've heard this sister's name all in the news since, like, the 90s, man. She's always came out and spoke against an injustice that's been done to our people. She always, I mean, Maxine Waters, man. Like I said, I remember her from way back in the 90s. She was talking about the Rodney King beating, and every time something happens, she pops up, man. But she apparently made some remarks who the judge thought that the remarks were unwarranted and went so far as to say that it could be the defense for Chauvin could file an appeal to have the case be a mistrial, man. This is what he said. But this is from CNN. And like I said, it's an opinion piece. It says Judge Peter Calhill was way, way out of line to suggest Monday that the words of Representative Maxine Waters, one of many leaders calling for protests against police killings and racial injustice, violated her oath and might somehow poison the murder trial of Derek Chauvin. It's nothing short of outrageous that Calhill told Chauvin's attorney, Eric Nelson, after closing statements that Congresswoman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result in this whole trial being overturned. This is what he said. Not even close. Jurors in the Chauvin case, like all jurors, have been instructed to disagree. I'm sorry. Let me read it again, y'all. I've been brain forced this morning. Jurors in Chauvin's case, like all jurors, have been instructed to disregard media accounts of the trial and focus solely on the evidence presented at the trial. The Chauvin's jury have been partially sequestered and supervised in the courthouse throughout the trial, though they have gone home at night and as of Monday are fully sequestered, staying overnight in a hotel, separated from their phones and electronic devices, measures deliberately intended to place them in an information bubble where comments from politicians cannot be heard. So this is what the dude who wrote this piece is saying, man, that this judge is out of line because the jury, they're sequestered anyway. They're cut off from any media outlets. They don't have any electrical devices. So how could Maxine Waters, how could her remarks taint their judgment? This is what he's saying. I mean, but we got to take into account, y'all. I'm going to bring this out later on in the show. Excuse me for a second, y'all. Got this tea going, man. Good stuff. Strong back. Some strong back with some sarsaparilla. What else I got in this? Some dandelion tea. Good for cleaning the kidneys out, man. Oh, too, man. I know I'm jumping, y'all. I meant to do this early. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to get right back to this article. I just want to let y'all know about a supplement that I've been taking, man. It's actually a prebiotic, probiotic, postbiotic, man, and it is great, y'all. I mean great. But the name of it is BioComplex 3, man. BioComplex 3. MD name is Grundy. So it's GrundyMD.com. That's where you can find it at. You can find it on Amazon, but it's pricey on Amazon. You'd be better off just going straight to his website and ordering it there. It is pricey, y'all. I am going to say one bottle is like $60, but if you order like three of them, they give you a deal, I think like $30 a piece. But I like it, y'all. It helps you digest food that your body don't recognize as food, like processed foods. And it gives you some good, man, some good sessions on the throne. I'm going to say that. Some good sessions, man. You have some very good waste removal going on. But it's a good product. It helps you lose weight, man. Helps you lose weight without, if you work out a lot, if you try and build muscle, it'll help you lose the fat without you losing your muscle. That's what I like about it. But BioComplex 3, y'all, check that out. I'm going to get back to this article. Get everybody's mind back to the article. So Maxine Waters made some comments. The judge said that her comments were out of line and could warrant a mistrial. This is what he told the defense. But the person who wrote this article was saying that's not the case. And like I was going to say, y'all, we can't forget that this is their kingdom. And they are appalled, absolutely appalled, that we would even be protesting them killing one of us. They mad about that. They mad about us protesting at them for killing us. It's like, to them, it's like, how dare you niggers. You niggers, not niggers. You niggers, excuse me. You niggers get mad because we killed one of y'all. This is the attitude they have, man. This is why as soon as they kill one of us, they immediately start the defamation of character campaign. Well, he had dope. Well, he had a fake $20 bill. And I heard about the brother with the counterfeit money. That was a nigga move. I ain't gonna even sit up in front, man. You know, a lot of this stuff, man, could be avoided if brothers just would, man, get taught, man. Pick the Bible up. Start living right. You avoid a lot of this. Anyway, this is their kingdom, y'all. We can't forget that. This is why they have psychological discomfort with us even mentioning that we're the true Jews of the Bible. They have psychological discomfort, hell, for us just even saying we human, or that black lives actually matter. Anyway, let me get back to the article. It says, despite these sensible measures, Cowhill appeared visibly angry over the fact that Waters came to Minnesota, traveled to areas where protesters have gathered, and did what politicians often do. Urge people to stand up for what they believe in. You see that? You see that, man? And you know, Chuck D made that statement years ago in one of his songs. He said, our freedom of speech, our right to death. It is, man. America is the most hypocritical nation on the face of the planet. They say you have freedom of speech until you say something that they don't like. Now you ain't got freedom of speech. Or they blackball you. Or they make you into their little boy like they did Nick Cannon for him coming out, speaking on the fake Jews and telling the truth. Those were facts he was stating. But what they do? They threaten his money. They threaten his fame. And he like a little weak, effeminate male, bow down to him, man, because you know what he understood that they are in control, that this is their kingdom. But what he didn't understand is that the Most High will fight for you if you stand up for him. That's what he didn't get. Anyway, let me read Maxine Waters' quotes. He says, she said this: we're looking for a guilty verdict, and we're looking to see if all of the talk that took place and has been taking place after they saw what happened to George Floyd, if nothing does not happen, then we know that we got to not only stay in the street, but we have got to fight for justice. Look at the sister, man. She went Ebonics with it. Then we know that we got to not only stay in the street, but we have got to fight for justice. This is what she said. She said to reporters, according to the video posted on social media, man. So this is what she said, and she caught heat for her. What is it? Is that the First Amendment, Second Amendment right? Whichever one it was. Freedom of speech, man. Ain't that something? Now, while this case is going on, this right here is going on too, y'all. I don't know if y'all knew this. So, and I watched the video. This is on Al Jazeera's website, Al Jazeera's. And the headline reads, Chicago releases video of officer shooting 13-year-old Latino boy. Ain't that something? Black and brown people being killed, man. And this ain't the first. Go and do some research, man. There's been a ton of our Northern Kingdom brothers that's been killed out of Cali, man. It just goes underreported because it don't make national news. But I'm watching the, not the video, but the picture. They show him coming out with his hands up. He ain't got nothing in his hands. And that's when the police shot him. But they swear they found the gun on the scene. You know how they do, man. So let me read y'all this. It says Chicago Police Accountability Officer has released graphic body camera video footage showing a police officer shooting and killing a 13-year-old in an alley more than 2 weeks ago as the boy appeared to be raising his hands to give himself up. The 9-minute video released on Thursday begins with a police officer getting out of his squad car and running after Adam Toledo, who was Latino in the early hours of March 29th in Little Village, a Mexican neighborhood in the city's west side. And I'm going to be surprised. I mean, I'm going to be honest, y'all. I didn't know. Well, I guess I really ain't in my right frame of mind. He is hired. It's cost everywhere. I didn't know Issacharites had a whole neighborhood up in Chicago. I knew Chicago had a lot of Ephraimites. And I'm talking about Puerto Ricans. When I say Issachar, I'm talking about so-called Mexicans, y'all, for those unfamiliar with the terminology. That's who they are according to the Bible. But I didn't know this, man, that Issachar was heavy up in Chicago. It reads on, it says, the officer yells at Toledo to stop before catching up with him and ordering him to show him his hands. Toledo appears to raise his hands right before the officer fires one shot, then immediately runs to the boy as he falls to the ground. Shots fired. Get an ambulance over here now, the officer is heard saying in the video. Stay with me. Somebody bring the medical kit now. So he shoots him, and now he want to save his life. Ain't that something, man? Ain't that something? And you know what, man? I don't think people really understand the psychological effect that walking around with a loaded weapon does to a person. And this is my reason, man, because I know a lot of brothers, you know, they get their concealed license to carry or whatnot. I don't want it, man. I don't want it because, first of all, this ain't our kingdom. And if you're a black man walking around with a concealed weapon that's loaded, You asking for trouble, man. You really are. Look at Philando Castile, man. He told him that he had a gun in the car. That made him kill him. Just him saying he had a gun. In my opinion, I believe that's why they killed him. But I don't want to walk around with a loaded firearm on me, man. Like I said, the psychological effect it has on you, because you don't, man, you be having a bad day, somebody cuts you off the traffic, man, you got a pistol on your hip, or you get one of these red people to put your money on the counter instead of in your hand at HEV, what you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, man, you just never know. You never know what could be your response, because we all get angry. We all get angry. We all have bad days. You ain't no telling, man. And I for one, I don't want to have that power on my hip and me make a bad decision based off my emotions. So that's why I don't want to be no damn registered carrier of nothing. A registered carrier of the Bible, that's my sword. I ain't saying it's wrong to have a weapon, but leave it at the crib, man. Protect your house with it if need be. I hope it don't come to that, God forbid. Anyway, man, y'all should go check this article out, man. I like the picture. Picture, man. You know how they say a picture's worth 1,000 words? So in the picture, man, they showing the protest, right? And they got this brother. This brother's in the front. And then they got, I guess there is a car. They might be just 9 and a half. I don't know. But I know they're so-called Hispanic. So-called Hispanic brothers and sisters. They're at the march, but this sister is kneeling with her daughter. With Judah, man. This is like, it's mind-blowing, man. It is. You know why? Because you see how the Most High is forcing us to come together as a people and trying to give us the realization that we both have a common enemy, that we're not each other's enemy, as it's been instigated through the divide and conquer ideology. But we ain't each other's enemy. We're actually the same people experiencing the same problems, going through the same thing, and we have a common enemy, and that being the so-called white man. And that's real, y'all. That is 100% real. People want to say when we make remarks like that that we're racist, but it's impossible for black or brown people to be racist, because racism is an institution. It's not an action. People get that mixed up. So that's the brother that's in Chicago, right? Now watch this. And I know y'all done heard about this too. Let me go to this article. And this article is on the same publication. Now listen to this. I was looking for the article I was using reading earlier. But I guess they took that one off and they replaced it with this one. It says, and this is Al Jazeera's, "I just shot him, police say Dante Wright shooting accidental." So his shooting was an accident. Dante Wright, the brother who was killed in Minnesota. I don't know if y'all knew about that one. And interestingly enough, I didn't know this, man, but they show a picture of his mother and his father. His mama was an Edomite. Ain't that something? So, and this is a message for all the you interracial couples, especially you Edomite women. If you have a kid by a black man, your kid, if it's a boy or a girl, it's going to be black. And if he's a black man in America, you should expect this. You should expect this. So you might want to think twice when you're trying to run off and get some black wiener. Up in you, because you want to have a pretty mixed kid with good hair. You better think about it. You better think twice, man. Anyway, let me read this. It says, "The police shooting of 20-year-old Dante Wright in a Minneapolis suburb appeared to be an accidental discharge by an officer who drew her gun rather than a taser during a struggle," the city's police chief said on Monday. The shooting on Sunday that led to the death of Wright, who was black, took place after traffic police pulled over a car in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, not far from where the trial of Derek Chauvin, the former white Minnesota police officer charged with murdering George Floyd, is underway. Brooklyn Center Police Chief Tim Gannon unveiled video footage from a body cam, body-worn camera at a news briefing on Monday. It shows a struggle between Wright and the officer. Wright then got back into the car, and an officer could be heard yelling, "Taser, taser." Then the car speeds off, and a female officer can be heard saying, "Holy shit, I shot him." So it's been ruled an accident, man. But ain't no accident. Ain't no accident, and I say this, man. I'm not saying the lady intentionally killed him. I ain't saying that. But then again, I wouldn't put it past them. And I'm talking about our red counterparts, who we loosely refer to as white. I wouldn't put it past them. But ain't no accidents. And this is why I say this. Let me get Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm kind of pressed for time, but I'm definitely going to get this in. Deuteronomy 32, and let me start at verse 35, y'all. Listen to this. This is why I said one accident. Deuteronomy 32 and 35, it says, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense." And this is the Most High speaking. So the Most High said, to him belongs vengeance. You know, are you trying to get vengeance for something or a payback? The saying, revenge is a dish best served cold. Well, the Most High is letting you know that all vengeance belongs to him. He says, and recompense is payback. So don't be trying to pay nobody back. The Most High pays back. Now listen, he says, their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. It says, for the Lord shall judge his people. This is part I want to get to. The Lord shall judge his people. This young brother getting shot, the brother George Floyd getting shot, Philando Castile, Austin Sterling, all those. And I just heard the Austin Sterling, and I didn't know this, y'all. They gave his family some money, but the officer that shot him was never tried and convicted. He's still working. He's still a police. Not surprising. I mean, there's a lot of these murderers walking around with badges. But what I'm going to get to is, his, for the Lord shall judge his people. This is judgment. All the murders I just named, there is judgment. As hard as it is to swallow, as upsetting as it is to hear me say that or to hear me read it out of the Bible, this is definitely judgment from the Most High, man. And no, I'm not happy that these brothers were killed, that they died. I'm not happy. The Most High ain't happy. I'm going to read that in a second, too. But this is, in fact, judgment. We got to understand that. And I'm going to read it again. Verse 36. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none set up or left. We're going to get to what the power is in a minute. It ain't talking about him. Verse 37, and he shall say, where are their gods? This is the power he was talking about. Like, man, where are your gods at? Their rock in whom they trusted. A rock is a solid foundation, y'all, something you can stand on and depend on. So the Most High is judging his people because what? They're choosing another foundation, another power other than him. It's just like all the murders that you heard about, man. Most of them brothers was doing something they absolutely had no damn business doing, man. And I ain't trying to justify Esau for killing them. No way, shape, or form. But don't the scripture say, do no harm and no harm shall come unto thee? Don't the scripture say that? The scriptures also talk about feet that be swift to run the mischief. Tell you don't do it. Our people, man, be investing quality time places they don't even need to be. Investing quality time with people they don't even need to be associated with. It's like my nephew, man. about, like, what, last month, I think it was? Somebody tried to rob him, beat him in the head with a pipe. He had to have reconstructive surgery on his face. Had to have my sister come in and bring a picture of him so they can get his face as close to the picture as possible. And what was he doing? He was in a neighborhood at a gas station he had no damn business at. And, yeah, I felt bad for him because my nephew, my family, he's an Israelite. But at the same time, I'm like, damn, dude, when you going to sit down, man? Because it ain't the first brush that he's had with death. It ain't the first bad thing he had happen to him. Like a lot of our people, stuck on stupid. Like the scripture says, how long will you simple ones love simplicity? In Proverbs chapter 1. How long are people going to just keep being stupid? Can't get right. But you try to show them scriptures, and they ain't trying to hear it. If it's frustrating for us, doesn't matter how damn frustrating it is for the Most High. Hold on for a second, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm back. Homeschooling business. Anyway, man, I lost my train of thought. But the Most High judges his people, man, because we will seek out and put trust and faith in everything else but him. And somebody try to give our people the Bible, they ain't trying to hear it. You niggas crazy. Y'all in the cult. Y'all know what y'all talking about. Y'all take the scriptures out of context. Whoop-de-whoop. But look at it. This is judgment from the Most High, man. This is why you keep hearing about unarmed black man, unarmed black woman, unarmed Latino man, unarmed Latino woman. This is judgment from the Most High. Verse 38, we're doing Deuteronomy 32:38, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their offering. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. You see this? The Most High is like, man, since you trusted in these other things, let them protect you. Since you sacrificed and went out of your way to do whatever damn thing that you into, which is took the place of the Most High, whatever thing you worship, then let that protect you. Oh, the street code. Let the streets protect you then, nigga. The streets then brought this drama to your doorstep, to your mama doorstep. Let the streets protect you since you put so much faith in you, you always got to be up in them. Let your whatever your drug of choice is, or if you're chasing money, let that help you out of your situation. Verse 39, see now that I am he. This is the Most High speaking, y'all. You better listen. What baby say? Y'all better put some respect on his name. The Most High says, see now that I am he, and there is no God with me. Put some respect on his name. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. You see that? Once the Most High push forth his judgment, nobody can save you. You're a through piece. It's done. It's over. It's a wrap. But our people just don't get that, man. Our people don't get it. Now, this is one side of the Most High. Let's get the other side. Let's go to Ezekiel now. Chapter 18. And I'm going to start at verse 21. Now listen to this, because we just read in Deuteronomy that this is judgment from the Most High, right? Now listen to this, verse Ezekiel 18:21. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he had committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. You see how merciful the Most High is, man? On the one hand, he like, man, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to kill you. But he still gives you a choice. He still gives you a chance. If you just stop what you're doing, I'll spare you. I'll forgive you. Verse 22. All his transgressions that he had committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him in his righteousness that he had done. He shall live. See that? Just stop being doing wickedness. You'll live. Stay off them damn corners. Get off the blunt. Get off the molly, the oxycontin, the bars. Get off of it. The heroin. Get out the damn strip club. He says, verse 23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Like I mentioned earlier, the Most High ain't happy because his people is dying and getting killed off by his judgment. He ain't happy about that at all, y'all. It's just like he's the Heavenly Father, right? We have biological children. Are we happy when we have to punish and discipline our children for some mess that they did that you knew they shouldn't have did it because they knew better, you taught them better? Ain't nobody happy about that. Aggravating as a parent. So how you think the Most High feel? Let me read it again. He says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, said the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? You see that? The Most High definitely wants us to live, and he wants us to be prosperous. He don't want to have to kill us, but we force his hand. We force his hand because we won't do right, man. We won't get right. And then even when the opportunity presents itself for you to do better, because somebody presented the truth to you, some scriptures to you and showed you, you ain't trying to hear it. Because you think it's power in whatever else that you're doing rather than it's power in the Most High. You know, our people have got this perception that love and knowledge and peace is just soft. You know, even some brothers in the truth. I'm going to get to that in the second half of my Tuesday. But the other thing I wanted to bring up was this, y'all. So I already said this their kingdom, and it is in fact their kingdom. So I'm going to go to prove it. Let me get it. Y'all probably heard, but I know y'all heard, but it's cool. This is Job 9:24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. And it is, man. And they get mad at us because we say that the so-called white man is wicked. Man, he's wicked as hell. You don't believe it? Check his track record. This country was founded on what? Violence. You ever seen that damn movie, The History of Violence? I forgot the actor name. He in there killing many people. White man. He kill them with hands, with knives, with gun. This was his blessing. Y'all go back and read in Genesis, what is it, 36? 36, 37, I think. That's what Esau was blessed with. His weaponry. He is the expert master killer. That's why all the damn guns is named after him. That is his specialty. And the earth is being given into him. He's wicked as hell. How you supposedly discover a country? You founded it on violence because you killed many people to get it, to own this land. And now you're going through changes when there are mass shootings, like the shooting they had in Atlanta, the mass shooting they had in, where the hell was it at? The white boy that killed them people here recently. Not the one in Colorado, because that's a whole nother one. But the FedEx dude that killed them people, white boy. It's in their nature, man, violence. You founded supposedly a country here in violence. This is how you got it, man. All the damn Indian wars you fought, the War of Independence, the Civil War, all by violence. And now you're going through changes because there's still violence going on. Hell, this is what you founded it on. Don't the scriptures say what a man sows, he should also reap? You sown violence into the fabric of your society. Now you're going through changes when the violence is affecting your establishment or your society. Now, we need tougher gun law. And then you got some people, politicians, they for guns, then some that ain't for guns. Then the ones that say they ain't for guns, they really for guns because the people who for guns and that make the guns contributed to your campaign. That's the reason you're in office. So now you got to cut deals with them. That's why the scripture, let me read it again. Job 9:24, the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covered the face of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? If the so-called white man is not the wicked that the Most High gave the earth to, then who the hell is he? I'll wait for a response. I'll wait for your answer. You better have some proof and not just your opinion either. We got mounds of evidence to support this scripture that the so-called white man is, in fact, the wicked that the Bible speaks about. And he's currently in control of the earth. This is why he's all over the globe telling people what they can and can't do in their own damn country. They can't fly in their own airspace. They can't capitalize off their own natural resources. Because who's there trying to get their natural resources? By way of one of his damn companies. Come on, y'all. It's not far-fetched. Just open your damn eyes up. So, the earth is definitely given to the hands of the wicked. By the Most High, is in control of everything. I'm going to read this in Ecclesiasticus 18 and... I think I got that wrong. That it is wrong. Saint 18. It's Ecclesiasticus chapter 10. I don't know how I put that. Ecclesiasticus chapter 10, verse 8. Listen to this. It says, because of unrighteous dealings, injuries, and riches gotten by deceit, the kingdom is translated from one people to another. So it's letting you know that the Most High will give power, rulership, and authority. That's what the kingdom is, y'all. Powership, ruling, and authority on the earth. He will give it to different people because of what? Because of unrighteous dealings, because of injuries, riches gotten by deceit. So this place is definitely on its way down because it's going to be the power. The kingdom is going to be transferred to who? The Israelites. That's what we're waiting on. That's the Our Father prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what we're praying. This is what we should be praying for. For the kingdom, the righteous kingdom of Yahweh Shah to come, and the whole world be governed by the Most High's law, statutes, and commandments, and the Israelites will be in authority, we will be in control, and this will be a righteous place to live in instead of a wicked one. But the Most High is in control of everything. He gave this place. He gave this kingdom to them. Let me keep proving. Let's go to Daniel now, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and let me start at verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Verse 21, listen to this. And he changes the times and the seasons. So who changed the time and the seasons? The Most High does. He removeth kings and set it up kings. A king is a ruler. Also could be known as a president or a king or a prime minister. The Most High sets them up. It says right here, he removeth kings and set it up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. The Most High is in control of all of this. We have to realize and understand this. We trying to march and do all this other stuff. Even Maxine Waters, as good as her intentions are, she just don't understand that it's in vain because this is, in fact, their kingdom. This is why Christ told the disciples what? When they showed him the penny and asked him, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? The Caesar at the time being one of the Caesars of Rome. And what did Christ tell them? He said, man, show me a penny. So whose face and subscription is on the penny, meaning the money? And whose face was on? He said, Caesar's. So what did Christ tell them? Render unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, man. Come on, y'all. None of this stuff is ours. We were brought here for our punishment. This is captivity. And let me show you what the Most High said about captivity. what are we supposed to be doing? So this is Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to start at verse 4. Listen to this. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, us, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. So that was one of the captivities we was in, was the Babylonian captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, who we just read about in Daniel. Now listen to this. What are we supposed to be doing in captivity? Verse 5, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. So we're supposed to be what? Settling in. Hell, Daniel was in two different captivities. Y'all know if y'all understand that. The Babylonian captivity and the Persian Mede captivity. So the Most High said, man, you better get, you're going to be there for a minute. You're going to be there for a while. Get comfortable. Verse 6, take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. So the Most High don't want us to diminish. He wants us to keep, like he said in Genesis, to be fruitful and multiply. He says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. So the Most High said, this is what we're supposed to be doing, man. And I know Chuck E. made that song years ago, Fight the Powers. The powers that be are ordained by the Most High. That's the Romans. Don't fight the powers. Talk about the power. Let our people know that they are, in fact, in captivity. Our people just don't get it, man. And that's the biggest misconception or the biggest lie that our people could ever believe, that they are actually free, man. Oh, Lincoln freed the slaves. King with the civil rights gave us civil rights. Nigga, please. That's the biggest lie that you could ever believe. We're in captivity. We're behind enemy lines. Now, I want to read y'all a little bit of this. And I've brought this book out before. I haven't read it, but I've recommended it. It's called White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. I'm going to read from a segment of her book that says, the title of it is Racism and White Supremacy. Now, listen to this. In case you don't believe, man, that this is their kingdom and we're just captives here. This is on page 30. Race scholars use the term white supremacy to describe a sociological economic system of domination based on racial categories that benefits those defined and perceived as white. So this is why I say black and brown people, we can't be racist, all right? Let me read on. This system of structural power privileges, centralizes, and elevates white people as a group. If, for example, we look at the racial breakdown of the people who control our institutions, we see telling numbers in 2016 and 2017. Now, keep in mind, when she keeps saying we, because she's a so-called white woman, she's an Edomite. She's a white woman, y'all. So she's speaking against her own people and against herself, because she unveils her own racism. Now, listen to the numbers that she put down. She said 10 richest Americans, 100% white, 7 of whom among the 10 richest in the world. So she said 100% of America's wealth is by white people. It says 7 of whom are among the 10 richest in the world. You see that? I was given to the hand of the wicked. Now listen to this. U.S. Congress, 90% white. U.S. governors, 96% white. Top military advisors, 100% white. President and vice president, 100% white. U.S. House Freedom Caucus, 99% white. Current U.S. presidential cabinet, 91% white. And these stats are from 2016 and 2017. Reading on. people who decide which TV shows we see, 93% white. So you wonder why you see so many white programs? Because they decide what you're going to watch. It's their kingdom. People who decide which books we read, 90% white. People who decide which news is covered, 85% white. People who decide which music is produced, 95% white. So you wondering why you listen to all the nigger music and the song about womp and adultery and booty shaking? Why that is so prominent on the radio? Because who decides to play it? White people. Reading on. People who direct the 100 100 top grossing films of all time worldwide, 95% white. Teachers, 82% white. Full-time college professors, 84% white. Owners of men's professional football teams, 97% white. Yes, y'all, this is their place. This is their rule. This is their kingdom. We got to understand this. Once we understand this, man, then we won't be in the damn street wasting time watching, talking about some damn equality in a place that it wasn't even set up for you to prosper. It was set up for your captivity. You got to understand this, man. You're wasting time. You on marching the street, and tell our people that they're the true chosen people of the Bible, and Yahweh Shai, who they call Jesus Christ, is coming back to rescue them out of this captivity and put them in a position of authority that they never had before. Only if they keep the law, statutes, and commandments, love each other, and stop being damn idolaters. Hold on for a second. Yeah, the name of the book again, y'all, is called White Fragility, Robin DiAngelo. And I like bringing that book out, man, because I like to see Esau talk about themselves and their race, man, and tell the truth about it. Not the smoke and mirrors that we're used to hearing, but to actually tell the truth, man. And once again, my definition of truth is something that you can prove, man. Like the scriptures even tell you, prove all things. So, I'm making good time. Now I'm going to dive into my class entitled Thank You for Being a Friend, Man. Thank you for being a friend, man. And this class was inspired, man, because I heard a brother make a comment, man. I really can't believe he made this comment, man. He said that he didn't come into the truth to make friends. Well, I would ask, brother, what you come in for? Because the whole truth experience is based off of our friendships and relationships that we have with each other. And it's been that way, even in the scriptures. I'm finna prove it. Because remember, y'all, there are two main reasons that we as Israelites, as a nation, are in captivity in the first damn place. The first one is idolatry. The second one is what? Because we hate each other. Those are the two main reasons we're in captivity. Idolatry and hatred for one another. Why would the Most High keep having to tell us to love each other? You don't believe me? Watch this. And we go to these scriptures, this scripture all the time. Let's go to Hosea. Chapter 4, man. Hosea chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 1. Hear the words of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord had a controversy. Controversy is a problem. Beef. He's got an issue. For the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, with the Israelites. Why? Because there is no truth nor mercy. Y'all see that? The Most High has an issue with us. First of all, ain't no truth. Then he ain't been taught. Then he said, ain't no mercy. We don't have mercy for each other. We don't have no mercy. We don't look out for each other. And I said this before, man. We use the term so loosely when we say brother or sister. We use it very loosely because our actions don't resemble our terminology that we be using. Our actions don't, man. But the Most High said he had a controversy with us not having mercy. He says, nor knowledge of God in the land. And what's the knowledge of the Most High? I'm going to give it to you. Check this out. Let's go to St. John. St. John chapter 15. I'm reading verse 14. Now listen to what Christ said. These, I hope you got a red leather Bible when you're following along. St. John 15 and 14. Ye are my friends. This is Christ speaking. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So you didn't come into the truth to make friends, but Christ said that we are his friends. So Christ had friends? But I thought she was following Christ. You following Christ, yeah, you did come in to get friends. Hell, that's what I came in for. I didn't know it at the time, but that's what I came in for. Remember what Christ said? He said that he that lost, that left lands and left mother, left father, left wife, children, shall receive a hundredfold in this lifetime. And I say that, man, because that's one of the scriptures I really held on to dearly when I came into the truth. Because my situation was this, man. I was going through a divorce. My wife had left and went back to St. Louis, took the kids with her, and I was by myself. I was really by myself. I moved to Texas. I ain't know nobody but her mama that was here. She was the host. We got our own spot, but that's all I knew. So I was literally by myself in a state I knew nothing about. And I was going through it, man. I really was. I mean, I had a good job, but psychologically, spiritually, I was really going through it because I was by myself. I didn't know nobody. At the time, I was dealing with five women, y'all. I ain't front. And that's who those were my I don't even say friends, I guess associates I call them. But I didn't deal with no men, man. I ain't got no male friends. I was dealing with women. I was doing. So when I got the truth dropped on me and came to the truth, I'm like, man, look at these brothers. Strong brothers. Man, these brothers is cool. And you know what I found, what I got? I got some friends, man. I got some damn friends I didn't even know I needed to have male friends to tell me, hey, nah, brother, don't do that. Nah, bro, it's not a good idea. Nah, you should do this, bro. You should do that. And in my time in the truth, hell, I've been, what, 14 years? I've came in contact, man, with some beautiful brothers, man, and have the opportunity to nurture some beautiful relationships with brothers. And I'm talking about brothers that are still here in the truth, this thing we call the truth, and brothers that are left. I still talk to them, man. We don't talk as much, but I still reach out and check on the brothers. Why? It ain't because we work together at the mall. We worked together at the flea market. Hell, it was through those experiences that we formed a relationship in the first damn place. Come on, be real with you, man. A lot of the, be real with yourself. A lot of the relationships that we have in the truth, we wouldn't have if it wasn't for the truth. We ain't got nothing in common. Hell, the brothers I'm talking about, we didn't have a lot in common, but we had the Bible in common, and that's what drew us to each other, and that's how we became friends. So to where a brother could call me up now and say he moving or he might be down on his luck or whatever the case, and I'm going to lend a hand and help. Why? Because of the relationship that we built. Hell, I had a, and I ain't trying to put the brother on blast or pat myself on the back, but I'm happy I established these relationships. I got a call from who I call my nephew. He calls me uncle still to this day. And he asked for some advice. It ain't the first time he called. It ain't the only nephew that can hit me up. But those relationships were nourished by me spending time with these young men who I call my nephew, man. And I'm happy that I established those relationships. Those relationships actually mean something to me, and they should. They should. And if you have a relationship with somebody that you've known in this truth, man, for X amount of years, hold on to those relationships if you can. And I say if you can because, like I said, some brothers, some sisters have left, and they didn't went all off and took other knowledge, and some went back into the world. You just can't be around it because it ain't good for your spirit. But the relationships you can hold on to, man, hold on to, because you never know. So that brother, that sister, they might actually come back. They might. But if that relationship is detrimental to your spirit, you don't keep it up. I wouldn't advise you to keep it up. But in this truth, man, and it ain't really the truth, man. It's just certain things in the truth that don't work on friendships. It just work on, I'm going to be over you. I'm going to tell you what to do. That ain't what this truth is about. It's about friendship. Why the hell Christ, why would Christ make this statement? I'm going to read this again, man. St. John chapter 15, verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Christ calleth his friends if we do whatever he told us to do. Verse 15. Listen to this. Henceforth, I call you not servants. I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. I'm going to let that marinate. It said Christ called his disciples his friends. He said, not his servants, even though they were servants. But he said, I called you my friend. Read it on. He says, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, I want to read y'all the definition of friend. Trip off of this. 1A, one attached to another by affection or esteem. That's a hell of a definition. One attached to another by affection or esteem. Hey, get them real quick. They need to get back on Zoom. One attached to another by affection or esteem. So it means I have an affection for this person. When Christ calls us his friends, when he calls the disciples his, he was saying he had an affection towards them. He had an esteem towards them. That's what it means to be a friend. I have an affection towards you. I'm attached to you by an affection that I have for you. When you're going through something, I'm going through some. When you feel a certain way, I'm feeling a certain way because I'm your friend. I'm there with you. I'm going through it with you. I'm trying to help pull you out of it and vice versa. This is B, definition for friend, B. One that is of the same nation. Listen to this, y'all. One that is of the same nation, party or group. So if I'm an Israelite, you're Israelite, guess what? You my friend. Hey, I got friends in Israel I ain't never met. That I talk to on a consistent basis. that I'll help out if I get the phone call or if I call them and they say they need some help. Some brothers, one brother that's my friend in Israel, I ain't seen this brother in at least 10 years or better. Met the brother when he was coming down from Austin. He ends up moving to Kentucky. Another brother I just here recently met from Detroit, lives in St. Louis. I call him a friend because he is. In fact, he's in town this week. I plan on hanging out with my friend. So let me read this definition again for friend. Friend, one attached to another by affection or esteem. One that is of the same nation, party, or group. Now watch this, y'all. Remember, Christ called the disciples his friends, right? He said, not servants, but friends. Now, this is St. John chapter 13, verse 23. Now, there was leaning on Jesus, or Yahweh Shai, bosom means chest, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. How can you be leaning on somebody and not have an affection for them? Not have an esteem for them? Not be attached to them? How cool was Christ and his disciples to where one of them could be laying on his chest? And this ain't talking about no gay mess, no effeminate mess. This is just genuine love. Verse 24, Simon Peter, therefore, begging to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And this, before this, Christ was saying that one of them was going to betray him. So Peter, with his head on Christ's chest, asked, well, who it's going to be. But the part I want to emphasize is that he was laying on his friend's chest, showing that they had an intimate relationship, and I don't mean sexually intimate. Now, no gay stuff, but an intimate, a personal relationship with each other, man. An affection for each other. Not damn apathy, like you going through some, oh, that's on you. That's your business. You figure it out. No, man. Now, watch this. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. So Yahweh Shai goes into his disciple who laid his head on Christ's chest, remember? And he sees that Peter's wife's mama is sick. Now, verse 15. Now, matter of fact, before I even read verse 15, do you think that Christ just told Peter's mama-in-law or told Peter, man, she's sick, but the hell with her? She ain't nobody. She ain't following me like you. She ain't putting the work in that you putting in. Did he tell, you think he told her that? Let's see, verse 15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. So he actually healed her. Why did he heal her? I'm pretty sure it was based off the attached, affectionate relationship he had with her son-in-law. And the close affection he had for his nation, for his people. Come on, y'all. Friendship, love is not soft. It's the most powerful thing you can have. Ask somebody that's went through this damn corona quarantine by themselves. The first thing they're going to say is how they miss so-and-so and so-and-so. Whatever relative or friend that they can't be around right now. So that was the biggest complaint from everybody. They couldn't visit their relatives or their friends. You gonna tell me don't nobody need friends? It's right here in the Bible. We reading it. Hell, I ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer. I ain't the best teacher by far, but I know how to read. And this is what the Bible says. These are crisis actions we read, and we read it out of his own mouth. He called the disciples friends. We're his friends. Let's get St. John chapter 13. St. John chapter 13 and verse 34. Hey, this is Christ speaking. Hope you got the red letter. Hope you follow along. St. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Y'all see that? He commands us to love each other. How you love somebody you don't know unless you develop a friendship with them? And that love gets nourished and established through y'all friendship and the time that y'all spend together. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Come on, man. How are people going to know that you actually following Christ? Because they're going to see the love that you have for your fellow brother, your fellow friend. Come on, y'all. I don't know what book some people read. Yeah, the Most High. Yes, Christ was an austere man, but you know what? Christ also showed love, too. Yeah, Christ did check Peter and call him Satan, but the very same Peter was laying his book, his head on Christ's bosom, on his chest. Let's get Leviticus 19 to 18. So Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Listen to this. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. That's a commandment, y'all. It's not a suggestion. That's a commandment that we love each other. Now watch what Christ says. And wait a minute. I want to make sure I got this, y'all. Yeah, I am going back there. So let me hold on to that one. Matter of fact, let's go there now. St. John chapter 15. I'm sorry. Let me not skip over this one. Let me get this one first. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 27 to 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 27 verse 18. For as a man hath destroyed his enemy, so hast thou lost the love of thy neighbor. Y'all see that, man? And this is what it's come to, man. We've lost the love of our friends or our brothers when we just make it business as usual. Oh, I'm only dealing with you because this is part of the camp regimen, this is part of the program, this is how we get down. I'm only dealing with you if you're doing what we doing. If you ain't doing what we doing, then I'm not dealing with you. Come on, man. How is that the Bible? Did Christ roll like that? No, he didn't. He didn't roll like that. Because remember, Christ fed, you remember he fed all those people, and he spoke to them in parables, but he gave the disciples the understanding of the parables, right? But he still fed everybody, right? He still taught everybody. Yeah, it was extra things the disciples got because for the more that they committed, but Christ still looked out for the other people as well. We can't forget that. Now let's go to St. John chapter 15. Matter of fact, no, let me read this again. Ecclesiastes 27 and 18. For as man hath destroyed his enemy, so hast thou the love of thy neighbor. And the reason I want to focus on this too, man, because look at all, now I'm speaking from my personal experience, y'all. There have been a lot of brothers. And here in the San Antonio camp, man, that's been left, man. He went on, went back in the world. Some is off onto some other BS. You know, and I miss a lot of those brothers, and I still wish I had a lot of those friendships, man. But, you know, the scripture says that a brother extended is harder to win back than a city that's overthrown. And that is the truth, man. That is the truth. Listen, y'all, we have to value our relationships that we've built with each other. And I'm not saying that you ain't hit no rocks along the way. We didn't have some disagreements. We ain't have some arguments. But you should be able to argue with your friend and y'all still be friends. You should be able to tell your friend that he or she is wrong, and y'all still can be friends. You should be able to have a different way of looking at things, and y'all still friends. Where the hell we get this notion that if you don't see things the way I see it or do what I'm doing, you ain't my friend no more? What the hell is that about? Or because I can't use you for something, then you ain't my friend. That ain't the Bible, man. That's not the Bible. Here's St. John chapter 15. That ain't the Bible, man. That's niggerdom. That's what the hell that is. I call it nigger poop. And I'm trying to keep a clean mouth, man, because I don't want my message to be distorted. People getting offended because I'm cursing. But that's nigger poop. That ain't the Bible. St. John chapter 15. I'm going to start at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is Christ speaking once again. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, is my commandment. Yet ye love one another as I have loved you. Now listen to this part. This is the part I wanted to get to. Greater love had no man than this. So he's saying this is the greatest love. What is it? That a man laid down his life for his friends. Did it say for a general? Did it say for a priest? Did it say for a bishop? Did it say for a head, 13 shield general, 14, 2,700 shield? It didn't say that. He said, lay down your life. He said, greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And laying down your life, y'all, just simply means, let me put aside what I got going on right now because my friend needs me. Yeah, I know I got XYZ going on, and I need to get to this and get to that and do this and do that. But, man, my friend really needs me right now, so let me lay down my life and put my life on hold right now and jump over here into my friend's life and give my friend what my friend needs and nurse my friend back into spiritual and mental health. Now he's back into spiritual and mental health. Now I can come over here and work on the stuff that I got going on. Hell, my friend going to come help me do what I had going on that I put on hold to jump over here and deal with his issues. That's the way it's supposed to work, y'all. That's what real friendship is about. Verse 14. Let me read 13 again. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. See that? And what did he command us? To lay down our life for our friend, man. To love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Those are commandments. But why would he be telling us to do this, man? Because he did. He looked out for his friends. Get Matthew 22. So we're going to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, listen to this, is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, man, we get this idea that loving each other and looking out for each other is soft, that it's not warranted, that we don't have to do that to get into the kingdom. Where we get that nonsense from? All the commandments, the hell with the fringes, the hell with everything else, but do you love your brother? Do you love the Most High, and do you love your brother or your sister? You know, all the commandments hanging on those two. Don't get it twisted. I ain't telling people break laws, not to wear fringes, not to keep dietary laws and other laws. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this law right here, he said all of them hang on these two. These are the most important ones. So can I stop starting damn arguments with brothers because I see them out in public and they ain't got fringes on? Can I stop nitpicking at what a brother ain't doing and what commandment he's breaking and just love the brother because he's an Israelite like me? Listen, man, as long as you know you're an Israelite and you believe in Christ, you believe in the Most High, we can be friends, man. That's our common ground right there. We can be friends. The other stuff we can work out along the way, man. This is like Paul. When Paul went to a city, he addressed the major issue that was in the city. He didn't tell these brothers, oh, you got to put your fringes on. Don't be eating the swine. He didn't go through all that. He addressed the major issue that was there. Anyway, man, let me get back on track. Let's go to St. John chapter 11 now. Because I said Christ looked out for his friends. We got to get an example of that. St. John chapter 11. I'm going to start at verse 1. St. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. She had a brother that was sick. Verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that said he to his disciples, let us go into Jerusalem again. So he's telling the disciples, man, we're going back to Jerusalem. Verse 8, his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou to the again? So he said, man, the Jews, they want to kill you. What you mean we going back to Judea? There are people trying to kill you. But listen to what Yahweh Shai said. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. And after that, he said unto them, listen to this, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. What did he call Lazarus? He called him a friend, y'all. But some say they ain't coming to the truth to make friends. But you following Christ, but Christ had friends. This is his friend Lazarus that's dead, and what is he going to do? What is Christ risking his life going back to do? To heal his friend Lazarus. I hope everybody is seeing this. Verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. They didn't even know Lazarus was dead. So they couldn't figure out why Christ would risk his life to go back to Judea to heal Lazarus. When Lazarus wasn't nothing, in their mind, wasn't nothing wrong with him. He was just asleep. But he was actually dead. So this is why Christ was risking his life. He was risking his life to go back to heal his friend, their friend, because he said our friend, Lazarus. Now let's read about Lazarus' sister. So let's get Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. He spake within himself, so he said this to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. So here this Pharisee is putting himself on some level, even putting Christ on some level, to say that this woman is beneath not just him, but beneath Christ. And if Christ would know how much of a sinner this woman was, he wouldn't even let this woman be touching on him right now. That he got this holier-than-thou attitude, right? Now watch this. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, Which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he had forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see thou this woman? I enter into thy house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears. So he tried to act like he on some level. He didn't even wash Christ's feet when he came in the house. But the woman did, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. Did he say that because you belong to whatever acronym, you're worthy of all these things, that you're worthy of Christ's respect? Christ didn't say that. Because remember, this woman was a sinner. This Pharisee was looking down on her, I guess, because she wasn't on his level. No different than we do now, man, with this camp banging nonsense. I'm looking down at you because you don't teach what I teach or believe what I believe, keep the new moon or whatever the hell. But listen to what Christ had to show him. These are the things that you ain't doing, but this woman, out of her affection towards me, she immediately did it without anybody telling her to do it because it was the right thing to do. Verse 45, thou gave me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You see this? This was Christ's friend. So much so that Christ knew the whole family. He loved the whole family, was friends with the whole family, to where he went and brought Lazarus, her brother, his friend, back from the dead, man. Come on, y'all. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. All you got to do is read it. Don't let them fool you. Oh, no. Matthew chapter 9. We'll start at verse 10. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, and it reads, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, now, keep in mind, too, y'all need to look up the definition of publicans. Publicans were the worst. Publicans were people of our nation that were tax collectors for the Romans. They were looked at like they were heathen, like they were of another nation and not even our nation. Basically, they were looked upon as sellouts. So they were really hated. They were vigorously hated amongst Israelites. So when you see the word publican, don't think all just a tax collector. No, they were hated. But this is who Christ was hanging out with. It says, and sinners. And we know that the Pharisees looked down their noses at the sinners. The Sadducees also, the two religious sects of the time, or the two camps of the time, I should say, and the Essence, which was another camp of Israel at that time. So they asked Christ, why is your master eating with these publicans and these sinners, these lowlifes, these degenerates, these outcasts, if you will? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. And truth be told, man, all Israel is sick. The Most High said the whole head is sick. We all have illnesses. We all have shortcomings and things we need to work on. Ain't none of us perfect. These scriptures apply to each and every last one of us. And I don't care what damn position you hold. You're still accountable to the scriptures like the rest of us. Nobody's beyond the scriptures. None of us. Y'all been watching damn Steven Seagal old movies, Above the Law. Ain't nobody above the law, man. or listening to the old rap group Above the Law. Do you niggas think you above the law now? Nobody's above the scriptures. Verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Ain't none of us righteous. All of us wicked as hell. Now you got the Bible. You should be less wicked than what you was, or at least aspiring to be that. For all of us, the scriptures say we sin daily. Paul said there's none perfect. No, not one. None of us are perfect. We're aspiring to be perfect. We're trying to be perfect, but we ain't there. So when we get off trying to look down at our noses like other Israelites ain't just worth our time, worth the light of day or nothing. We don't owe them, we can't even say shalom. Come on, man. Let's stop. Because we're getting out of here. We're being saved as a nation, as a people, not as a damn camp, not as individuals. You think that when Yahushua come back, he going to have us in ranks by camp? So it's going to be this camp first, this camp second, this camp third, this camp fourth. No. As a nation, as a people. Let me get Proverbs 18:24. I'm running out of time. Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18:24. And it reads, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. So it says a man that hath, if you got friends already, in order to get more friends, you got to be friendly. And how are you going to be friendly? Because the experience you had with the friends you already got. You befriend them. This is how you get more friends. You got to be friendly. You got to put yourself out there. You have to step out of your boundaries, out of your comfort zone to be somebody's friend, to do what they say, to common talk, extend the olive branch. I'm going to make the first move in our friendship. Even if we had a disagreement or dispute, let me give you a peace offer, man, to heal our friendship so we can go on continue being friends. It says a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What that mean? I got friends in Israel I can count on, call for anything, but I can't even call on my own family. I can't depend on them. I mean, I can call them. Tell them I need some help, but that don't necessarily mean they're going to come. But I have certain friends in Israel I know for a fact they got what I need. Even if they ain't got it, they're going to try to get it to me. And vice versa. But that's the way it should be. Let me get 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me try to help get this in. Because Paul even said the same thing. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Nine. Yeah, he says, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. What's abusing your power? Verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. He said he was a servant unto all Israelites, that I might gain the more. Why was he a servant to all? We just read in Proverbs, a man that has friends must first show himself to be friendly. He was showing himself to be friendly. He says that I might gain the more. I might gain more friends, more of my nation, more of my people. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Listen to what Christ is saying. If you're making a boast about how much you're Israelite, yeah, I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to play your game. Yeah, you Israel. I'm Israel too. Whoop-de-whoop, rah-rah-rah. That I might gain the Jews. to them that are under the law. All right, we got brothers that I'm the supreme law keeper. Yeah, me too, brother. Why? So I can gain you as a friend. That's under the law. That I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law. So I'm gonna be as you, man. Whatever you into, I'm gonna be into, talking about Jake. It says being not without law to God. I mean, I ain't gonna just go out and break laws just because I'm trying to be your friend either. But I'm gonna, like the scriptures say, condescend to men of low degree or low estate. I'm gonna come down to your level and meet you where you are. You wanna talk about sports? We can talk about sports. You want to talk about women, we can talk about women. Just so I can gain you as a friend, because sooner or later, your real problems going to start coming up. Damn, I did that again, man. I'm sorry, y'all. Sooner or later, your real problems going to start coming out. Just like when I worked at the mall, we were taught to mirror the person in front of us. When you mirror somebody in front of you, become just like them, y'all find common ground. Now y'all can build a relationship so it don't just feel like you selling them something. It says, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So Paul said he became all things to every man that he might gain some and bring them into Christ, man. It's like some brothers different. You know, some brothers came into the truth strictly for the brotherhood, for the friendship. Others came for the knowledge. Others came for the unity or whatever, what have you, man. But all of them are beneficial or worth something. All of them are Israelites. Christ called us his friends. He gave up his life for his friends being his nation. We can't forget that, y'all. That's the 60-second mark. They may have already cut me off, but I hope everybody enjoyed the show, got some out of it. I don't know if I'm going to come back with a part two. I might, because I got a lot more of this class left. But I definitely want to get back to my other class. Religion is it for you. I want to get back to it. It'll be my last installment for that one. But I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for y'all support, man, keeping this blog talk thing going. To Wada, big ups to Mashaba, man, for keeping the blog talk going. Shout out to the brother Nawathan also for your support and keeping blog talk going, man. And I just want to say, man, peace, blessings, and much love from me to all Israel, the 12 tribes worldwide, wherever you at, whatever camp you with, man. And I want to say shalom.